The month is June. We're in Terre Haute. We actually missed you last month because it was the primary election in May. So it's been 2 months. So it'll be good to catch up and really appreciate you having us today.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys coming over and doing this.
Summertime in Terre Haute. Does the things calm down a little bit? Does it feel good? It's always busy.
It's one of those things that kind of the construction season begins to get to its peak, but everything else is kind of normal. So, it is what it is. I think it's an exciting time because there's so many activities going on and it really makes the summer go fast. So I just can't believe it's June.
Yeah, time, as we say that every month,
I
time always
know, it's
flies.
true though. It just seems to go faster.
I wanted to start more or less with what's been in the news lately, and that's this another request for a short-term internal loan from the redevelopment funds. The city borrowed now, though, $5 million last year. This time around, I believe, is asking for
Two
$2 million to
million.
be paid back a year from now. Is that correct?
Well, kind of. So let me explain that. The internal loan here with the redevelopment, those are our funds or the city's funds versus going outside. And so we've been borrowing those funds for several years, and last year it was at the level of $5 million. And so what we're doing is we're paying that back at the end of this month, and then we're going to borrow $2 million. It'll take us to the end of the year. Then we'll have to decide what we want to do at the end of the year to take us to next June. We changed the ordinance a little bit for maybe the first time you read it, just because they prefer to stick on the schedule we used to, kind of go on 6 months and not on 12 months, which is fine. And so I'm hopeful that next June, when we pay that $2 million back, that we won't need to borrow any more from them again. So unless something changes, and I don't anticipate that. So we feel really good that we're reducing our borrowing by $3 million. That's kind of the bottom line, gives them more funds available. They still have plenty of money in the bank. It's just the fact that we could borrow it at no interest, and that's kind of why we chose that route.
And that five, well, now 2 million comes from the redevelopment fund. What is that fund, just to be?
Well, there's two different, well, we have multiple funds, but there's two different funds we're borrowing from. One is the State Road 46 fund. We're going to borrow $500,000 from there. And then the Downtown TIF District, which is a different fund, we're going to borrow $1.5 million from there. And even with us borrowing, they still have about a cash balance of about $4 million available to them to spend. So it doesn't hurt them other than they need to be able to plan ahead. And so what we're doing when we keep reducing it just allows them to do more things.
And more things like.
Just downtown projects in the downtown TIF. It might be sidewalks, new lighting we're doing this year, assisting with the new business that's coming downtown, maybe do some infrastructure around their building. So it's anything and everything in the TIF district that we would do from that infrastructure perspective.
And are these reductions in loans kind of happening across the board, including borrowing those future property tax funds as well?
Well, probably what will happen is if we reduce the redevelopment loan down to 2 million, we'll probably still need to borrow 4 million next year on the tax anticipation one. I'm hoping it'll be a little less. But then after that, we'll begin to reduce the TAW. When we eliminate the redevelopment loan, we'll be able to begin to reduce the tax anticipation warrant because things keep getting better here. Our cash position's better almost every month. And just we're not quite there yet where I want to be, where I've got that comfort level of having enough money sitting in the bank. We need about $4 or $5 million just kind of on hand because there are some months we have to write huge checks to NDOT or others that we may be writing $1 million or $2 million check. And then plus we have normal expenses. In other months, we don't do that at all. So we're trying to balance that out. We keep producing less because we have more internal funds.
Now, I wanted to touch on one thing. The Trib Star indicated a payment for a loan from the county is due July 1st. Is that
It's
correct?
not due July 1st. No,
Oh, okay.
no. The whole, sometimes those things get kind of confused.
Sure.
The county invested in a bond anticipation note. They invested their money in the city to purchase a note from us a few years ago. And it's due and payable in 2021, all of it. We're making some payments along the way to reduce the principal. We put a schedule together. We made a payment in January of this year. We're going to make a payment in July. We're going to make another payment in December. That's totally on us. We don't owe them anything except interest payments, but we're making principal payments also.
Okay.
As our position continues to improve, we're trying to pay off some of our debt.
Sure, and I was just going to say, I'm getting this feeling that you are feeling good about.
I'm feeling really good about it. Things have improved dramatically. We still got a little bit of work to do, but now we're down to just a few manageable things where, you know, 3 years ago we had about 10 things that weren't had to be dealt with. Now we're down to just a couple.
Now, I did read in the Trib Star, some city council members are getting antsy because there's no city budget reports, but it's due to some city accountant software that's being installed.
We are switching over to a new system. You know, it's really frustrating for me. I gave them a full report in May and everybody was like, okay, we're fine. The finance chairman said, I'm fine. It's okay. We get it. Yet, there's some political attacks is really what it boils down to. You know, the city council is not responsible to run the city's finances. That's not what they do. And we give them 200 pages of report, variety, detail, every expenditure, every line item we show them every month. Well, what's happened is we're converting to a new software system. So the first thing we had to do was convert all the data from 2003 through 2017 and make sure it's all 100% accurate before we could move to 18. We completed that about a month and a half ago. Now we're working on 18. I can't run any reports because some of the data is in the new system, some of the data is in the old system. We have to bring the old data over, merge it together, you know, get it down to the penny from an accounting perspective before I put out any public reports. I explained that to the council. Nobody asked any questions. Nobody said anything. But then in the meeting the other night, it was brought up that, you know, they don't have any reports. Well, I don't have reports either. I mean, none of us have reports. Our staff is working long hours to get this data converted and make sure it's accurate to the penny. And so we went to ADP at the beginning of the year. That's throwing a whole new twist in. We have to bring their data in. So we've got our old data, ADP's data, and then our new system, and it's all merging together. And I'm not going to put a report out until it's 100% accurate.
So then maybe the question is that if you can't generate a report, how do you know everything is?
Because we track it ourselves. So we can pull it into spreadsheets and do some things. It's just not anything you could hand out because it comes from multiple sources. I just gave the council the other night a report showing them cash flows for redevelopment as an example. And for our cash pool where this money comes into, we know exactly where we're at. But I could just type up, I guess, a piece of paper and say it, but then they wouldn't believe it. It needs to come from the system. We've got a few people that would just, that's just what we have to deal with. It's unfortunate because this is a very common thing. You can ask any large entity that converts from an old system to a new one, and there's a lot of State Board of Account rules, and we had to make sure that old data moved over because that's our permanent record. So we did 2003 through 2017 really pretty fast, I think. And now we're working on 18. So I would just ask for their patience.
All right. Margaret Avenue, how's that going?
It's going well. Picking up a few days here and there. You know, this week hasn't been good. It's been raining quite a bit. But I still really believe we're going to be able to open it up to traffic by March of next year. And so, you know, we're a little bit behind what our original schedule was, but they don't have to be done until next July. So they still have plenty of time. And I think we're going to get back on schedule as long as we don't have a rainy summer.
Yeah.
This week's been,
I was going to say, this week's not
like
a good example.
Yeah.
Paving projects too are getting underway.
Yes. And you know, it's a little frustrating sometimes because people say, hey, you know, how come this street hasn't been fixed yet? You know, you got new tax money, you know, we're paying more in gas tax. What I ask people to keep in mind is we started collecting that gas tax last fall. Well, the asphalt plant doesn't even open up till April. And so you have to get on their schedule to do these projects. The county has projects, our other local towns, NDOT has projects. And so we have one company here. And so we're on their schedule for a variety of projects. We started with Ohio Boulevard, made a major repair last week. We'll be paving the rest of that soon. Those projects are going to happen, and we're going to be rolling that out to the public here, the exact list and kind of the general time frames here in the next couple of days.
I read a report about the Terre Haute Regional Airport expanding 6 new hangars by the end of the year. Doesn't that speak volumes on the economic impact that's happening in this area to see an airport expand that much?
You know, 10 years ago, there was a lot of vacant space at the airport. It's all filled now. They're looking at doing some hangars, and the next thing we'll probably be talking about is some spec buildings for businesses. there's no more room out there. There's plenty of land, but there's no more buildings for anybody to move in and start a business or expand a business. We got a couple out there that would love to expand. So it is a good thing. We've got the fourth longest runway in the state of Indiana. We got the third busiest airport with takeoff and landings, and we have no commercial service. There's a lot of activity out there, both on the military side and on the civilian side. And it's just really been kind of neat to watch it and kind of rise out of the ashes, if you will. We've always had a great asset, but it wasn't really used that much. And so when ISU moved their flight school out there, that really brought a lot of activity. And then the businesses that have landed out there, things are going very well at the airport. And we've got the air show this year, really looking forward to that. So it's been a great year so far, and we'll finish it with a bang, if you will, when we do the air show later this summer.
Yeah, and with Terre Haute here right off I-70, Indianapolis really isn't that far. You may get some traffic from that.
Well, we get a lot of couple of different kinds of traffic. One, some people just stop and get gas, get something to eat and fuel up. We have a lot of military and federal government kind of traffic that comes in and out of here because of our prison and a variety of other things. And then with the flight school with ISU, and we have a lot of businesses that fly in corporate jets here, and so that's where that volume comes from. So we're behind Indianapolis and Fort Wayne in takeoffs and landings. So it's really kind of amazing.
Yeah. Now you mentioned the air show. Is that something that doesn't happen every year here?
No,
right?
And we haven't had one in, it's been quite a while now.
Yeah.
So they're going to put it on a 3-year cycle. The Blue Angels are the featured act this year, and ticket sales are going really well. We expect roughly about 70,000 people over the 2 days in August.
So I read something from the downtown Terre Haute, this is a little while ago, in their emails they sent out about new signs. There's new stuff coming to Terre Haute on Wabash Avenue. And they said details coming soon, but they didn't say much. Do you know what they're talking about?
Well, yeah, I kind of do, but that's still going on. A lot of these things are happening. And so it's not just new businesses necessarily, but it's an activity from downtown Terre Haute Inc. to do more things, more activities. We're doing some improvements to the flower boxes downtown from a landscaping perspective. So it's kind of a lot of different things, but they're going to roll them out as, kind of put a little mystery behind some of these things and then try to get some public interest in that. So downtown's doing well. It's just we'd like to do more. We want to kind of take it to another level.
Right. I have to ask you about this because we've never talked about it, but I don't know what media outlet picked this up. The public dance permit came up a month or so ago. And it's mainly, I believe, aimed to crack down on ISU students maybe having big parties. Is that really, does that?
That's what the intent of the war, and the ordinance has worked flawlessly. It really has. So what happened was several years ago, we had a lot of people coming to Terre Haute to have these large parties. Sometimes 1,000 people showing up to a fairly large venue. Couldn't hold 1,000, but it was a larger venue. Then we also had house parties where maybe 300 people show up to a 2-bedroom home on a small street in Terre Haute. Shots fired, a variety of other things that happened. So we modeled our ordinance after Bloomington and Indianapolis and Lafayette and other places that have already dealt with this. Once they put their ordinances in place, and a lot of those people started coming to Terre Haute. And so they're not just ISU students, but they were involved with some of the planning because ISU students go to other communities. And so we put this in place, and then all of a sudden, things got a lot better. Well, we had an incident recently where there was an event, and so some people pushed back a little bit. There was some arrests made, tickets written. I shouldn't say arrest, but tickets written. And that's kind of what got the push. And so we put a committee together to look at the ordinance. We're going to make a few minor tweaks to it because it really just needs a few little things, but we're still feel strongly about it. And it's going to be called an event permit now instead of a dance permit. These were mostly dances for 99% of them were dances. But any large gathering, if you're going to bring several hundred people together, then you have to be zoned properly. You've got to have the right security in place, parking. I mean, you can't just do these things in a neighborhood because the neighbors, it's an infringement upon their rights also. And so you get the permit, we come out, we make sure everything's done the right way and you're safe and secure. You're able to have your event, no problem.
I was going to look it up and I forgot. Are the recs underway yet?
Yes, and they were 8-2 the last I checked. I'm not sure how they did yesterday, but off to a great start. Opening night was a lot of fun, had a huge crowd. I got to throw out the first pitch, and it's just really fun to have the Terre Haute Rex, and especially when they're winning, it's even more fun. And so this is shaping up to be a good year for them.
So anything else you'd like to add? That was about all I had.
No, I think just things are going really well. It's exciting, you know. We got the Strawberry Fest downtown this week. That's always a big draw for people. And there's just so many things going on that makes me excited about our community. But with our improving financial situation, that's a, you know, it's a big burden off me and everybody else. I mean, that's kind of all the media's been reporting for a long time. And some exaggerated, some actually, you know, absolutely true. But there's always a happy medium, and we've made so much progress that it's really putting us in a great position to be able to do some things we haven't been able to do for a while, and I'm just really excited right now.
I wanted to get your quick take, too, on the new superintendent. Have you, of Big Oak County Public Schools, have you had a chance to meet
him?
No,
I have not. When he had his public, a couple of events, I was unable to do that, but I've got something we're lining up now. And look forward to meeting him. You know, I had a great relationship with the former superintendent, and we did a lot of things together from the city and the school corporation perspective, and I want to continue that. And just really looking forward to get a chance to sit down and talk with him and just kind of see what his vision is and share mine with the city and see if we can't just do some better things and just continue to make Terre Haute a great place.